The reading begins. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 and 1 household will be divided, 3 against 2, 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It is going to rain,' and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat,' and it happens. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
I was seriously considering this morning calling in sick. I mean, take a look at the weather outside. Summer has finally arrived. And today would be a perfect day for some hiking or some paddling or some gardening or whatever really strikes your fancy. Today would be a great day to call in sick. But to be honest, what really was making me ponder not coming was that text that Jennifer just read for us this morning. I wonder how many people prepared for Sunday service by reading that text earlier this week and said, "I don't really want to come to church very much and hear that." This morning's text is a challenging one. We have images of fire descending and coming down to earth. We have images of a family divided, fathers against sons and mothers against daughters. We have images of Jesus going to the crowds and calling them hypocrites. This morning we meet a Jesus that is not one that we like very much. This is not the kind, gentle, loving, healing, teaching Jesus. This is not the "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so" kind of Jesus. This morning we meet an angry, condemning, calling Jesus, calling us into the challenging parts of our faith, reminding us that being a Christian is hard. Now, it's really not my fault that this reading is read this morning. As most know, the Revised Common Lectionary provides a prescribed set of readings over a 3-year cycle that most churches, Catholic and many Reformed churches like us, follow. And the reasoning for this kind of cycle of readings is twofold. First of all, it's so that we can have good Christian dialogue among our friends and colleagues and people we talk to. So when you're talking to a friend in Toronto or LA or Melbourne or wherever the case may be, you might be able to say, "So what did you do and talk about in church on Sunday?" And they can say, "Well, you know, we talked about this." And it's likely the same kind of stuff that we're considering in our churches, Christian dialogue. The other reason that we have this cycle of readings is that it forces us to look at all the different aspects, all the different components of our faith. Not just the lovey-dovey, easy stuff, but also the challenging, nitty-gritty parts of our faith. This morning we meet a challenging part of Jesus. It calls us into a life of discipleship, saying, "Christian life is hard." Doesn't waste any time. Text opens. "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." Fire. I wonder what was in the minds of the listeners of Jesus 2 millennia ago. Well, I think there were many things. They thought back to the Hebrew Bible. They thought back to the images of fire and what that meant. In the minds of Jesus' followers were the refiner's fire, perhaps. The refiner's fire that would bring a time of purification. The refiner's fire would be a time of new beginning. It would be a time where the presence of the Spirit of God was there with them in fire. Think about the stories of fire and meeting God there. Moses, meeting God at the burning bush. The pillar of fire. Or the fire raining down at Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, the list goes on and on. The images of fire are ripe for the people listening to Jesus. It spoke to them. Think about some of the prophets, Zechariah, Malachi. They spoke about the refiner's fire, that image of the refiner working with precious silver, using the heat to separate the precious silver from the dross. And all of a sudden, when we start to unpack the meaning of fire, we don't like it too much, do we? It's hard to have some of our old ways burned away. It's hard to be purified. Hard to be exposed to the heat. Well, if we don't like it much at the beginning, it gets worse. Jennifer, we were talking, and I said, I'm going to give you a really hard reading to read, like a really hard, like lots and lots of really hard words. Well, weren't really a lot of hard words, but boy, is it a hard reading. The images go from images of metallurgy and Hebrew Bible images of fire, and they go to the heart of our nuclear family. Division among families. Jesus says, it's going to be five in a household, divided. Three against two and two against three. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter, daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Now, we can probably look the other way on the whole in-law comment because we've all kind of heard stories of in-laws not getting along. But fathers? Sons? Mothers? Daughters? For most of us, that sounds so foreign. Doesn't really kind of make sense. But we think back 2 millennia ago, that's exactly what was happening for Jesus' people. People in a family were being divided for following the way of Christ. Some of them were following Jesus' way, which meant saying Jesus is Lord, and that meant saying the emperor is not. And they were being imprisoned. This was against Roman law, and those members of the family were separated. They were divided. I mean, we kind of take for granted religious freedom today, don't we? We take for granted the ability to worship in freedom. That wasn't the case in Jesus' time. Certainly, we don't have to look that far even in our own world today, do we? Think about places like China or India or certain parts of Africa. Religious freedom. I wonder, it's almost relatively easy to be a Christian today, isn't it, in the Western world? Well, I wonder if that is true. We don't need to look all that far back in our own history of a denomination to be reminded how truly challenging it sometimes is to live the Christian faith and make those right decisions as we go. Think about our United Church denomination just after we formed in 1925. In the 1930s, the issue was the ordination of women. And the challenge before the church was, what would we do with that question? Because previously, we were not allowing for that. At the time, it seemed like the church would fall apart. The church would be divided, fall apart as quickly as it had formed. You just flip to the next slide, Penny, thank you. A woman named Lydia Grucci. She was offering incredible lay ministry in rural parts of Saskatchewan. She was doing the work of an ordained minister. She was eminently qualified, bachelor's degree from the University of Saskatchewan, theological training from what is now the St. Andrew's College in Saskatoon. And in 1926, her presbytery petitioned the General Council, the highest court of our United Church, to change the basis of union to include women to be accepted for ordination. In 1926, that petition failed. And every 2 years when General Council met, they put forth the same petition. 28, it failed. In 30, 32, 34, they all failed. But in 1936, church acted like faithful church. They changed the basis of union, and the Reverend Lydia Grucci was ordained. Some years later, she received an honorary doctorate from St. Andrew's College in Saskatoon. She would retire here to this very presbytery, White Rock. She would worship and be involved in First United Church, and before dying in 1992, after a long life. And today, we can't even imagine the church without the leadership of women, of ordained women in it, can we? Yet it was back then what seemed that would divide us, that would destroy us. We made those faithful decisions, and it ultimately strengthened us as a family in Christ. Just the next slide. The call to faithfulness might always divide us initially. It always seems to threaten us, yet it ultimately unites us as a family in Christ. Some years later, the big decision in the 80s, of course, was the United Church and their decision to be open to the ordination of homosexual people. The same concerns were there. The thoughts that the church would fall apart, the issue was hotly debated. 1972, it was they produced a study on human sexuality, and the document was called In God's Image, Male and Female. Some of you might have even remembered that. And it was debated and debated. It made the press. And in 1988, General Council gathered to make a momentous decision. The delegates arrived. This is the history of what we hear about. The delegates arrived all opposed to that issue. Delegates arrived opposing and planning to vote against it. But what they did happen, for the very first time, something miraculous, I think, happened. They actually met devout homosexual Christian people. And they heard stories of exclusion, and they changed their hearts and minds, and they forever changed our church and voted in favor of that. It's interesting, they changed two things. This will just seem shocking so many years later, but they allowed for homosexual people to be in full membership of our United Church. And then they allowed for all members to be considered for ordination. What first divides us, when we make faithful decisions, strengthens us and unites us in Christ. We just have a next slide. Tim Stevenson with the next slide there. That's about a picture I could find from when he was ordained. And he was the first homosexual person ordained in our United Church. And we can't even begin to fathom, we can't imagine our leadership in the United Church if the vote had gone the other way. The next slide, if we could as well, Penny, thanks. And the leadership continues. So many people over time, of course. We think of our most recent moderator, the Right Reverend Gary Patterson on the left, was also Tim Stevenson's partner. And our current moderator, the Right Reverend Jordan Cantwell. The great leadership being offered, the faithful decisions of the past that unite us, family, Christ. Thanks. I think what we're uncovering in this text, the challenging part of our faith, speaks to the two different kinds of peace that theologian Phyllis Tickle articulates in one of her books. She says there are two kinds of peace. There is, Jesus says, do you think that I have come to earth to bring peace? He says, no, rather division. Tickle says there is a first kind of peace that's like a temporal peace. It's a secular peace that's about comfort and niceties. But there's also an eternal peace that's beyond just the comfort and niceties. It's a sacred peace that lies beyond comfort. And she says, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, not comfort. What she says is that the challenging part of living our faith, it's about making the right decisions. And that's not easy. It's about making the moral, ethical decisions, and that's not easy. It's about taking up our cross and following the crucified one, and that is not easy. Living the Christian life is hard. These are challenging days in the church. It's challenging to be a part of the church, and it's challenging to kind of run the church these days, because they're in a general time of church decline, as we know. The church is declining in terms of its attendance, in terms of people's involvement, in terms of people's giving on time, talents, treasure. In every measure, the church generally is in a time of general decline. And we don't have to look too far back when we can contrast this with a time of general growth. It was just the post-World War II baby boom when the church was growing and booming, and we were building churches at every corner, it seemed like. Reading an article just a while back, and it was saying what the difference of our church today compared to the church of the past is that today's church can no longer offer any social benefit to its members. In the past, to be a member of the church was proof that you were a good, moral, upstanding citizen. You were trustworthy. You would be somebody worthy of doing business. That area, the lobby, is called the narthex, and they would always have it closed off. So this would be a place not just to drink coffee, that was also a place to do business in the past. You would hand out business cards, you would network, that would be the people you'd do business with because those are the people you trusted. The minister would never let that happen in the church, of course. That's where it happened there, and that was kind of where they draw the line. Those days are over. Frankly, that's probably a good thing, because the church never should have been in business with that in the past. What we're recovering now is we're getting back to the earliest days, I would suggest, of the church. The church of today resembles more than ever the church of the days of Jesus. This is a time now where we are called to speak out against injustice, and that, as Jesus says, will bring division. This is a time when we are called to be the voice of the weak and the oppressed, and that brings about division. This is a time where we are called to be a gathering, a place of spiritual transformation, where we find a deeper, more meaningful connection to God who calls us to walk the challenging way. Christian living is hard. As many of you know, I spend part of my ministry time at First United Church offering ministry with the folks at the Downtown East Side. Wednesday night is their Sunday morning. They found some time ago that people in the street don't generally get out of shelters and off wherever they are and come to church on Sunday morning, but they will come on Wednesday night. So Wednesday night we gather for a great meal. We gather around a scripture text. We use this scripture text this past Wednesday. Prayer, we light candles, and we have discussion. And at the very end, we sing a blessing. Well, it's unfortunately for them, it's generally me singing because most of them don't like to sing. but we sing a blessing. And I was singing, we gather in a circle, and we sing a blessing. And I had, after we concluded and people were kind of gathering their things and preparing to head off, I had one person that seemed like he was kind of hanging back, and I seemed like he might want to have a chat with me. So he kind of came up and he said, you know, I don't know if I really understood that text, fire coming to earth and Jesus calling us hypocrites. But he said, I'm going into a really hard life and I'm really afraid. But he said, what did happen and what I did understand is that when you held my hand, I felt something. I felt warm. I felt spark. I think I felt God. And you know, I started to wonder as I was driving home, he got this text a whole lot more than I did. Because as we go into the challenging parts of our living, as we go into the living faith, which is the hard stuff, if we can go knowing that the warmth of God, the spark of God, the refining fire of God goes with us, then I think that's what this text is really all about. Living the Christian life, being a Christian is hard. We don't do it alone. Go forth knowing that God's love, God's warmth, and God's presence go with us, empowering us to be God's people in the world. May we do that together. Amen.